Amen. While you remain standing, I'd like to ask Andy Bennett if he'll come and lead us in our prayer for the meeting this morning. Why don't you come right up here, brother, so we can hear you well. Thank you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that you have brought such a great redemption for us, that we can have that as the theme of our lives as Christians, that through your death on the cross, the shedding of your blood, and your resurrection from the grave, we can celebrate such a great life in you. Lord, be with us as we remember your death, burial, and resurrection this morning. I pray that this time would honor you and help us to keep you in the center of our lives and thoughts each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We'll sing one more hymn, 352. 352. Amen. Thank you. We'll stop our singing at that point. Thank you very kindly for that nice singing this morning. And again, for you all being here, it's good to see you all. In thinking about preparation for this morning's meeting, it dawned on me that I should perhaps speak a little bit about what I've titled, very simply so, The Compassion of Christ. The Compassion of Christ. And I want to just share with you a number of verses from the Scripture that bring this idea of His compassion and mercy to the forefront. Compassion is defined as a deep awareness and sympathy for the plight of another. A deep awareness and sympathy for another's plight. Perhaps for their suffering or for some problem that they're facing. That's compassion, and that's a good definition for what the Lord showed while He was here on the earth in the Gospels. And really, I'm just walking through the Gospel of Matthew and touching a number of other passages as well to show to us the Lord's compassion. I just want to do some reading of these this morning and highlight in your mind the Lord's compassion for the lost, for the sick, for the dying, for those who are astray from the right path. Let me start by reading in Matthew chapter 8. If you have your Bibles and would open to Matthew chapter 8, that would be helpful to us as we just follow along. Matthew chapter 8, it says in verse 1, when he had come down from the mountain, this is after delivering the Sermon on the Mount, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Very similarly to this, down in verse number 5, it says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Now, isn't that what comes out of the heart of compassion for those who are in trouble? Those who are sick here with the leprosy or with some dreadful disease. The Lord was not only compassionate on those who were sick in that way, but in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, you just turn over one chapter to the end of chapter 9, you find that Jesus is moved with compassion on the multitudes of people because of their spiritual condition. It says in 9:36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 10. fourth example of the Lord's compassion. Two examples of folks that are sick, one of people scattered like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew 12, verse 10, "Behold, there was a man who had a withered hand." This was in a synagogue when he went to teach. "And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him? Then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out?" In other words, who among you wouldn't have compassion on a helpless animal to help it out? "Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. You recall this caused great controversy among the Pharisees that were there at the time. But the Lord exercised great compassion on this particular individual. Matthew chapter 14. John the Baptist had been murdered. They had gone away for a time, the disciples had, to take some rest and be in a deserted place by themselves. But when the multitudes heard about it, they followed him on foot from the cities. Matthew 14 and verse number 14 says, And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the village and buy themselves food. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And here he feeds the 5,000, having compassion on the multitude. Chapter 15. Move ahead another chapter, Matthew 15, verse 32. This time it's the 4,000. Jesus looks out in front of him and sees a crowd of thousands upon thousands of people. Last time, 5,000 men besides women and children. This time, 4,000 men. Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry lest they faint in the way. So you see, he's also compassionate because of their physical needs. Not just the sickness or spiritual condition, but also physical needs. The Lord exercised this kind of compassion. I suppose I don't need to even say it, but maybe I will just to highlight it in your mind. If the Lord had this kind of compassion for these people, do you suppose he has a similar kind of compassion for you? He did. He does. He will. This is just the very essence of God's character. He is a God full of compassion and mercy. His mercy is higher than the highest heaven. The psalmist extolled his mercy, and the Lord Jesus, as the incarnate God, has brought this to our example and to our recognition here. Matthew chapter 18, another example. Who could help but have a tender heart, a compassionate heart, when there is a little child in their midst? Oh, and how it grieves the soul when little children are treated without compassion. At that time, verse 1 of 18 says, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them. And said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The same thing, kind of idea, is found in Matthew chapter 19, verse 13. Little children were brought to him, Matthew 19, 13, that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and then departed from there. There are all manner of parallel passages to these ideas. But notice his compassion on the little ones, on the little children. back in chapter 18 again, just in verse number 11, we begin to see the Lord speaking about compassion and other terms. He says in 18:11, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's His compassion. Notice I didn't just look up verses that refer to the word compassion. It's the idea of compassion. It's what He has done and what He was coming to do. He has come to seek and to save that which is lost. The same idea is echoed in Matthew 20:28. "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many." Why else would He care to give His life a ransom for many if He didn't have compassion and mercy upon our souls? There's another example back in Matthew 18 again. There's a number of them here with the children, with the fact the Son of Man has come to save, seek and save that which is lost. It says in Matthew 18:27, the Lord is giving a parable about forgiveness now. And He says, regarding the master and the slave, remember the master who was owed so much money and the slave couldn't pay the servant. And so the master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. That master obviously pictures who? Christ is teaching this parable to show us that God, the master, is like God. God forgives a great debt. However, it says in verse 33, when the slave went out and found a man who owed him a couple bucks and said, "Pay up," and didn't recognize that he was forgiven, so he should also forgive, the master said to that slave, "Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" Very true. Indeed, that was the case. He should have. If we have been forgiven, then we should forgive. Matthew 20 and verse number 34 is another illustration of the Lord's compassion on those who were ill, sick, diseased, to blind men. Jesus, it says in Matthew 20:34, had compassion and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed Him. Matthew 23, verse 37. The Lord has come into Jerusalem. He's really lamenting over Jerusalem and says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." A picture of Christ's compassion, wishing to gather His children together to Himself, but they did not want any of Him. Let me share with you a couple of others, not in Matthew. There's one in Luke, chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 33. "A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was." Now, he is the man who went from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, and was beaten and wounded. "The Samaritan came by, and when the Samaritan saw the man," the Bible tells us, "he had compassion." So Jesus says, which of these three, the Levite or the priest or the Samaritan, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? He who showed mercy on him, the lawyer replied. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. He who showed mercy on him. He who showed compassion. There's another one in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse number 22. This is a great one. Mark chapter 9. This man comes to Jesus and asks him for help. This boy was having convulsions. A demon was afflicting him. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood, verse 22, and as often he has thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. So what did the Lord do? If you can believe, he said, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. How many of us can say we're in that same exact situation? If you can do anything, have compassion on us. The Lord says, you believe that I can have compassion on you and that I will? I believe that, he said, but there's still shreds of unbelief. Help me with them. Help me to remove them. Two more. John chapter 19. John chapter 19 and verse number 25. Even in his dying moments, in great struggle of agony, the Lord does this in John 19:25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. And he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Is that compassion? The oldest boy taking care of his aging mother, even in his dying moments. That is compassion. And finally, Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. I want you to listen closely to this, please. Mark chapter 10. The account here is of a young ruler, a young nobleman, a rich young man who comes out to greet Jesus and says to him in Mark 10, verse 17, Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? The question of the ages. The question which we had a wonderful time speaking about yesterday morning with the men. How can a man be right with God? How can I inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Six of those 10 commandments having to do with your relations with other people. And the rich young nobleman answered and said to him, Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Mistake number one. He didn't keep them from his youth. Only in an external, bare, ritualistic kind of sense, perhaps. But certainly he did not keep them the way God wanted them to be kept. Nobody has kept the Ten Commandments. Everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Because of this, the man coming to him and wanting eternal life, asking Jesus the question, answering in a deceived way, I mean, he did not understand where he was. He thought he was up here with God, but he was not. Jesus, looking at him, it says, loved him. Then said to him, see, Jesus had compassion on this fellow. He was lost. He was as a sheep going astray. He had gone his own way, just like all of us have and had. And so Jesus says to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come take up the cross and follow me. Problem number two that this man had, not only he didn't keep all the Ten Commandments, but the Lord pushed just the button that he knew needed to be pushed. This man was trusting in his riches and his wealth and wasn't willing to give them up for the Lord. And so Jesus said to him, with compassion now, you've got to give that up. You've got to let go of that sin. Stop being held by it. Turn away from it. But the young man was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. There's another version of this story, same story. But instead of saying he loved him, it says he had compassion. The Lord has compassion on the lost, those who don't know the way, those who are deceived and think they know the right way, but yet they have departed from the way of the faith, the way that's taught in the Scriptures that Christ died for our sins. And only he can pay for our sins. We cannot improve ourselves or help our lot with respect to God. We cannot achieve or inherit eternal life ourselves. It's only because Christ had compassion on us in our lost state that we were able to have the opportunity and even the benefit of eternal life. And so we come to the table this morning to remember the Lord's compassion and how he did this great work for us. In just a moment, I'll ask the gentleman to come up and share the elements of the table with us. With those thoughts on your mind, I want you, as they come and we have a few moments of silence, just to consider what he's done for you, what you're standing with him now, what your state is. If you're a born-again believer, truly born again, believing in the shed blood of Christ for your salvation and in that alone, and you've been baptized as a public profession of your faith, you may feel free to join us and partake of the table. If you're walking in disobedience, though, and that would include refusing to be baptized as a believer, refusing to be made right with another, refusing to lend or offer, extend forgiveness to another person that you know you ought to, then you need to make those things right. The Lord said, when you come to the altar, this isn't an altar, but when you come there and remember that your brother has something against you, go first and make it right with him before you come and extend your worship towards God. So I want to make sure you understand that. And don't take of the Lord's table in an unworthy fashion, because Paul said those people who do that eat and drink judgment to themselves. And we would not want to have anybody do that here this morning. So make sure you partake of it worthily. We don't have an examination publicly or anything like that. You have to examine yourself and make sure that you are walking right with the Lord today, and that you are truly saved before you partake of this table. Let's pray. Father in heaven, help us as we partake now this morning and share together the symbols of the body and blood of Christ, which were broken and shed on our behalf. And really, that payment was effectual for the sins of anyone who would come to Christ. The door is open. The offer has been extended. The opportunity still is available for anyone who would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. And Lord, this morning we know that we're reflecting on the great provision that you've made for us and the response that you induced us to have at some point in the past when we became Christians. And so, Lord, help us to partake worthily today. Help us to be good testimonies of your grace. And thank you for this, your compassion. It's boundless. The examples were too almost numerous to go through in this study this morning. And we thank you for recording them for us. I pray also, Lord, that you will help us to be people of compassion, to follow the example of our Lord, even with those that are astray and fallen and in difficult circumstances or who aren't the easiest to have compassion upon, that you will help us, regardless of all of that, to be people of great mercy, of great compassion, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our gentlemen have been kind enough to prepare for us the table, and I thank them for getting here early to do that. It takes some effort, and we share some unleavened wafers together. They've already been broken, but when we partake of them together, it's like we're sharing all from the same one, because they are symbols of the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to ask Bill if he will pray and thank God for that symbol, and then we'll distribute them and ask you to hold on to them, and we'll eat them all together at the same time. Thank you.
Lord God, we bow before you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the word that we heard, and we thank you, Lord, for your great compassion, loving us so much that you sent Jesus to die in our place. And we just pray, Lord, that we remember the broken and battered and bruised body for me, for us, Lord, that you would do that. And so I just pray, Lord, that as we partake of this element, that you would help us to remember that, to digest it, to think about it, to make sure we're in right relation with you, Lord, and that we will show that same compassion to our neighbor, to our friends, to our loved ones, Lord, that Christ might be just beaming from us, Lord, not because of what we did, but because of what you did on the cross. We thank you for this opportunity to obey you, Lord, in observing in this way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just because you're a sinful person doesn't mean you don't partake of the table. You partake of the table because you are one, but that you've recognized that Christ paid for your sins. So the Bible says, examine yourself and in that way eat of the table. Don't just say, well, I'm a sinner, I'm no good. That's true, but God has done something with you, in you, for you. And I was thinking about that John 6 passage. You know, put this wafer just aside for a moment. Unless you eat my flesh, you have no life in you. And now look at this and say, this is the symbol that I have already partaken of his flesh. And so we eat this to remind ourselves and to remember him of what he has done for us. So let's partake together. One of our brothers last week was in the hospital because he had a problem with his blood. And the Bible tells us the life of the flesh is in the blood. When there's a problem there, or all of that blood goes away, there's no more life. And the Lord shed his blood on our behalf. And that's what we remember in this symbol of the cup of juice. Grape juice, new wine, if you will. I want to ask James if he'll come and give thanks for the cup, like the Lord did at that Last Supper.
Oh Lord God, we thank you, dear Lord, that you have given to us, to me, the privilege to come this morning and to be a part of this worship and celebration of what was done out of compassion. The Lord, having loved us, bearing the sin of the world, not a sinner himself, but bearing all the sin, his blood spilt out of his body for us. Help, dear Lord, that we might think correctly about what all this means, and that we might allow the Spirit of God to have his way with us, to the glory of the Almighty God. We pray with thanksgiving in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.
The Lord took the cup and he said to his disciples, drink all this in remembrance of me, for this is... Remember what he said it was? My blood for the remission of your sins. Remission, a big word. Very costly. Let's thank him for it as we partake together. Heavenly Father, how many believers have partaken of these elements over the centuries. Each of them, if truly done, part of the body of Christ. We rejoice to see that whole body assembled together, the wedding supper of the Lamb. And we look forward to the day when, as you told your disciples, you will not drink of this cup or this fruit of the vine until you drink it new in the kingdom of God. Oh Lord, we look forward to that day. But until then, help us to be found faithful, especially in this matter of the gospel of Christ. For He gave Himself for us. Any shying away from that or shame of that would certainly bring dishonor upon Him and shame upon us as well. So help us to live and proclaim that which is true. Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, gave His body and His blood on our behalf, was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. Thank You for letting us be believers. Thank You for the privilege of being in Your family. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.